international students. In times of the coronavirus, we would like to give you some psychological tips with this podcast in order to help you cope with the difficult situation. My name is Katja Mierke. I'm professor of psychology at Fresenius University of Applied Sciences in Cologne. Today I'm going to talk about feelings and how to establish helpful little routines in order to deal with uncomfortable or threatening feelings. First of all, let me state that it is perfectly normal to experience uncertainty or fear in the current situation. None of us have any experience with a pandemic of this magnitude. We lack the routines, the schemes that otherwise give us security. Human beings love to fall back into established patterns of behavior when we feel frightened or threatened. But we do not have such established patterns for the current situation. Many of us feel that they kind of lose control over their lives because we can't run through days and weeks the way we used to. We may even feel severe restrictions to what is allowed and what is not allowed anymore. Many things we loved to do, socialize, go out, do sports in a group or in a fitness center, all this is not happening at the moment. And this is a very fundamental change. Over and above all of this in which we are together, the situation is special for you. As you are abroad, you may not have a very closely knit social network here. You may not have established deep friendships yet. So maybe you don't even know when you will be able to get back home and to see your beloved ones in your home country. So this is a major challenge, and it is totally fine to just recognize and appreciate that. Whatever you experience in yourself in terms of like an abnormal reaction with which you surprise yourself is not abnormal at all. It is probably a very healthy reaction to an unusual situation. It is okay. It is okay to feel fear. It is okay to feel anxiety, although it is oftentimes not helpful. So if you feel overwhelmed or maybe even close to panicking, you may want to use some of the following strategies to deal with your feelings. First of all, accept them. Realize what's happening in your body. Many people report that they feel that the pulse is rising, blood pressure is rising, the hands are getting sweaty. Maybe you feel tightness in your chest. Maybe you even have difficulty breathing. Muscles start to cramp. Maybe you're sleeping badly, having bad dreams, wake up more often than you used to. All these are severe signs. In case of acute stress and anxiety, it is very helpful to first of all try to calm yourself physically, because stress and acute fear paralyze our rational thinking, and sometimes you may need rational thinking in order to make a good decision. You should never make any important decisions or go into any important conversations while you're under acute stress. If you realize any of the bodily symptoms mentioned, take a deep breath in and out. 5 seconds in, 5 seconds out. So it's a long, deep breath. And you do that for 1 minute. Better too. Maybe you have a chance to look out of the window, ideally into a green surrounding or up into the sky while doing so. Maybe you have the opportunity to leave the environment you're currently in, to change the room, go outside, go for a walk, move, and concentrate on moving. Take those deep breaths in and out, take a walk. This stimulates the part of our autonomic nervous system that is responsible for relaxation. The breathing exercise works. Just try it. Collect yourself a little. Of course, breathing won't solve your problems, but it will help you to get into a physical state again where you may find solutions to the problem or at least be able to take some first steps, one step after another. In order to calm your thoughts, you may want to make yourself clear once again. You are safe. You have a home. You have clean drinking water. You have enough food. You have access to qualified medical care. You have electricity. You have internet, and so on and so forth. You have people who are there for you, and there are people for whom you can be there for. This may establish some fundamental feeling of safety. Then you may want to start thinking about, what kind of fear is it? What are you actually afraid of? Are you afraid for your own health? Are you afraid for the health of people close to you? Is it about economic issues, financial insecurity? Or is it a somehow diffuse fear of Armageddon? Are there fears that, I don't know, focus on larger powers that might almost have the character of conspiracy theories? Think again. Also, it may happen that you're subject to emotional contagion when you talk to others. Emotional contagion is an amazing phenomenon, which together with behavioral contagion can be observed even in the animal kingdom. Animals who live in groups, as we do, yeah, we are herd animals, they are very sensitive in capturing the emotions of their fellow group members and to pick up on them spontaneously. Emotional contagion can be very stressful when it comes to spreading fear in groups. And so if you talk to others, to your fellow students, for instance, or also maybe to your beloved ones at home who have difficulty or community struggle with the coronavirus, this may affect you severely, and you may even get into a somewhat upward spiral of collective fear. Such dynamics are not helpful. So if you realize that your counterpart is just getting into something and that this activation may spill over to you, I suggest that you interrupt the conversation. Do so calmly, do so friendly, use clear words. You may, for instance, say, "I'm sorry, but I don't think that this is doing you good or me good. Let's interrupt it here. Let's take a break. I can't handle this at the moment. Please, I'm with you, but I would like to pursue this conversation sometime later. Let's calm down first, both of us." It is your absolute right to protect yourself from unnecessary negative feelings or inappropriate negative feelings. And the other person may be grateful as well if you protect each other from winding up. There are some very good strategies behavioral scientists have established for situations in which people feel a loss of structure, maybe even a loss of meaningfulness, of sense, of overall being kept together. So a very good advice is, in absolutely every case, to make yourself a plan. What we are experiencing right now is close to unemployment, for instance. Yeah? A breakdown of all habitual behavior, of your morning routines, your day routines, your weekday routines. Well, people start forgetting what weekday it is. So this can, of course, make you even feel more insecure. And on the flip side, a daily structure and a weekly structure do provide support and restore a bit of normality. And this is something each and every individual can arrange for him or herself. So keep to fixed times for getting up. Continue to set your alarm clock. This may be half an hour or an hour later than usual. That's fine. But set yourself fixed times. Get up, take a shower, brush your teeth, get dressed, have breakfast, whatever. Do everything you would otherwise do. Then there may be a work period at home, a study period. Set yourself a schedule. Say, I don't know, I study from 8:30 to 12:30 and I take a 15-minute break around 10 and another one around 11. Maybe during that break, I go for a walk, or I have some second breakfast, or I chat with a close friend, or I pet my pet, or whatever. Enjoy my balcony. Then I go back to work. Write it down in your calendar. Keep to-do lists. Make yourself a list what you want to get done for a week or per day, every day. Don't plan too long term. This can be threatening nowadays. Also, times are changing so rapidly that it may not be helpful, because you then feel obliged to stick to that plan, which is no longer appropriate under circumstances that have changed. So stay flexible, but have that plan. The good thing is you won't get lost in thoughts. You won't get lost on the web. You can see what you got done every day by checking things off step by step. This gives you stability, which will also reduce anxiety. We all have to keep functioning somehow, and we can do that. People are capable of many things. We are a very resilient species. Also, when you've got such a structure for yourself, you can establish times for social contact, which is a very, very nice thing to do, because you have something to look forward to. Normally, you might have had a date to go to go running, which you can still do, of course, but you might have had a date for the fitness center Tuesday and Friday, or cinema on Wednesdays, or cooking together on Mondays. Try to create such regular social dates and make it a Skype dinner, or go for a walk and keep your distance with a friend. We talk about physical distancing, not about social distancing, and this is extremely important to stay in contact with the ones that are dear to you, and to do so on a regular basis adds structure to your day and to your week. Maybe you wish to combine your study routine and your social life and create time slots in which you meet in a virtual environment, 2, 3, 4, 5 of you, and work or discuss on a particular issue in order to keep up with your study routines and with your working schedule in terms of exam preparations and so on. It is more fun, it is more enjoyable, and you can considerably support each other. It is a very well-established finding in social psychology as well as health psychology that social support is a very, very powerful means to deal with stress. And interestingly, it does not only reduce stress to get social support, but also to provide it to others. Maybe you find meaning and purpose in being there for those who may feel less stable or less confident in the current situation. Be that as it may, we get back to you with the second part of this podcast. Until then, take care and all the best wishes.